The story of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish is one of the very few events in Jesus' life that's recounted in all four of the Gospels. It certainly left a deep impact on the early church, such that it needed to be remembered and recorded. So many beautiful themes that arise in the course of this Gospel about God's providing for our needs, Jesus' compassion and the divine power that's at work in Him, the desire of Jesus to feed our hunger, not just physically but spiritually, and then that at the end that strange detail about the crowd wanting to make Jesus king, but Jesus basically running away, wanting to escape to be alone. Speaks to how often we relate to God in a certain way, want God to be a certain thing in our lives, but God resists our attempts to reduce Him or to pigeonhole Him. And that's why it seems in our search for God that it's hard to grasp Him, hard to attain. God is always just beyond our reach. But I'd really like to focus on this detail of the boy who brings five loaves and two fish. I think in him and in this gesture is revealed to for us an important spiritual disposition. So what is it that's presented, right? There's this great need. There are thousands of people that are hungry. Jesus wants to feed them. Jesus certainly could have performed a miracle ex nihilo, right, out of nothing, right? He could have, as he created the whole universe out of nothing, he could have just made the bread appear, could have performed a miracle of transformation, changing one thing into another thing, like he said on Palm Sunday when he said, well, if these people don't praise me, the rocks themselves will come alive and praise, right? But instead, this miracle is a miracle of multiplication of something that's already there into an abundance. What is presented is the small amount of the loaves and the fish that the boy has. But remember, it's all that he has. He offers everything to the Lord. And who is it that presents it? Well, it's not the apostles who have this great charge to care for the people. It's not just a random someone in the crowd. It's a particular person. It's a boy. A courageous boy. A child without guile. A child just naive enough to present such a gift. Right? Not realizing that what does this do for all of these people? Right? We would be ashamed of presenting such a gift. So, well, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to make a difference. So I'm not even going to try. But the boy, being young, is naive enough to present this gift. So both of these facts, what is presented and who presents it, points, I think, to God's desire for our cooperation with His grace and in His work. Okay, God could do it all Himself. But what He wants is for us to bring what we have. Yes, we know it's not sufficient. We know we don't have what it takes to resolve all of the needs that surround us, or all of the needs that we discover within us. But God desires that we offer what we have, even though we know it's not sufficient, and that we offer it completely with childlike confidence and trust, even perhaps a bit of naivete, to bring it all before the Lord. Right? So that God's work in our life isn't just something that He is doing, but rather we are cooperating in it. As small as our contribution is, that's what God desires. Now, This gospel passage relates to the Mass in so many ways, but this particular detail, I think, speaks to us of the offertory, right? A lot of people kind of think of the offertory as the halftime of the Mass, right? We tried our best to pay attention during the homily, and we really want to pray hard during the Eucharistic prayer. So we get this little break in the middle during the offertory. Okay. And of course, there's a collection that's taken up. We're providing for the needs of the church, which is right and good. But more importantly, at that time, is the offering that is being made, right? The bread and wine are presented, and those represent the work of human hands, right? We don't bring grain and grapes, right? That we bring grain that has been worked into bread and the grapes that have been worked into wine. It's a symbol, a representation of us offering ourselves to the Lord. And we know it's a very small offering. It's a tiny thing, a few hosts and an ounce of wine. And yet, that's symbolic of exactly what this boy did, right? It's the same idea. We are bringing ourselves, our little offering of ourselves to Him, but we give it completely, trusting that God will provide something for us that is way beyond our capacity and beyond even our imagining. It's a symbol of our cooperation with divine grace, with God's power, cooperation between God and our meager human capacities. So when the bread and the wine are offered, we are meant to place ourselves on that pattern, to place our lives, our hopes, our dreams, to place our struggles, our sins, to place our future, our worries, everything that is going on, our entire lives. Place those on the pattern as they are presented to the Lord, and the Lord, praying over them, transforms them into His own body and blood, which feeds our deepest hunger. And in so doing, right, we are saying, we are professing that we trust that God can transform this little that I am into something great, into something beyond what I could imagine. Let us be like this boy today, boldly bringing all that we have to the Lord, as small as we might think it is, for in His hands He can transform it into something truly great and beautiful.